a weak solidarity brekkie team listener when most people wouldn't be aware because he doesn't make an issue of it. But big supremo Anthony Albanese was raised in public housing by a single mum, a shoebox, really. Therefore, Anthony said he knew what struggle was all about as he announced he just bought a little 4.3 million mansion within it with uninterrupted ocean views. I really struggled, he explained, with should I fork out 4.3 mil in the middle of a housing crisis and people doing it tough. We know people are doing it tough. I really struggled with how people doing it tough would view it, but let me assure you, the view is magnificent. Amid all this, we discovered among the politicians who all know people are doing it tough, the coalition lot know it's down to the socialist mismanagement, their capitulation to the evil unions, crushing caring employers with higher wages and crippling conditions, which make workers worse off. All know it was extremely difficult to find one who doesn't own multi-properties, lots of investment properties. So just when we thought the socialists were too gutless to resist the big money campaign that would fight any attempt to take away negative gearing, capital gains tax concessions and other perks handing the public housing public purse to landlords and the property industry, they all have a second reason to resist change. Self-interest. Ah, the biggest incentive. Well, in this case, the biggest disincentive of all. 70% of them would vote against it. One socialist MP, Michelle Ananda Raja, owns seven properties, an obvious opponent of capitalism. Must say I'd never heard of her before she emerged as a major landlord. Tony backed the capitalists who portrayed himself as a friend of workers and those doing it tough when he was Minister for Caring Business Class Relations, and now as Minister for No Proper Papers, queue-jumping illegal boat people, going the extra yard to prove he can out-cruel Constable Duffer and that lot, has six properties, showing why he's such a threat to the greatest little economic order of them all. And they tell us he's on the left. Get the feeling capitalism is in safe hands and full of great ideas. Brilliant proposals to solve the, quote, housing crisis. The Business Profits Council says rezoning sites for developers should be handed from local government to, yes, to developers in the real estate industry. This would prevent delays, they argue, and it certainly would. Remove delays to progress like the environment, like destruction of flora and fauna, like Terra Nullius non-people heritage and culture, which that Her Honour in the Tiwi Islands case ruled is superstition anyway, compared to sophisticated progress like a gas plant out in the middle of the ocean. On which great corporate ideas don't end there. Similarly, one of our favourites, Woodside with Profits, Supremo, Meg O'Neill before Profits, says the states should lose their powers to assess the emission consequences of fossil proposals, following the Western Trublowazi government removing that power from its EPA, its Environment Protection Authority, now the ENA, Non-Protection Authority. Meg arguing the power should reside with federal fossil meddling King Hit Mother Earth, who just loves a bit of gas and oil and coal. And in another inspired concern for the national and Mother Earth interest, Meg and the fossil team insist the capacity investment scheme, which underwrites renewable energy projects, must include gas. Despite some cynical, untrue Blavozzi spoil sport suggesting gas may not be absolutely renewable, ignoring those ads from the fossil industry promoting renewable gas, proving it must be renewable. It's so annoying, isn't it, when these spoil sports attempt to deter inspired ideas from important people like Meg and the resource behemoths who just want what's best for all of us. Also knowing what's best, because the ballot box told them so, terrified Northern Trublowazis breathed a sigh of relief as their new government, as its first act, addressed the worst threat facing not just Northern Trublowazi, but the whole country, 10-year-old career criminals. new caring business class, hazing and sheepshit party, big supremo, finarchy, lock them all up-o, coming up with an even more brilliant idea. Don't just lock them up, but the police who haven't got a racist bone in their bodies will march into classrooms and search all the kids, all the black kids, that is, because white kids are no threat to law and order, and then march them out and lock them up, guilty until proven innocent. Which they're not, of course, they're never innocent. The number one copper, who apologised to the Indigenous community for endemic racism, proved the sincerity of that apology, declaring this was a great idea, showing his industrial relations credentials after the good union, the association, attacked him for the apology. How can we, do our job if we can't be, racist? Isn't it a relief to find a good union amid the evil? Here, our gentle forces of law and order are arresting and seeking more heinous criminals who had the evil intention of opposing the merchants of death and calling for peace, thereby automatically forcing the poor to resort to a little bit of extreme, over-the-top, out-of-control violence, something the sort of mind... Okay, for the sake of argument, we'll call it mind, that joins the police or the trained killers, would just abhor. And Opal Khan, real name, described as celebrity chef and restaurateur, abhors how tough life is getting for the filthy rich. He's closed three of his string of elite businesses, which charge about $300 a head for a bite to eat, after being charged with ripping off migrant workers. Rising wages and food costs mean you can't make money, poor Opal opined. Bloody workers again, making life impossible, poor Opal. How can he make a little filthy rich profit if he can't rip off workers? Oh, and ANU staff, due for a crippling 2.5% wage rise from the end of the year, have been asked by the Vice-Chancellor to waive the increase because the uni needs the money. God, it's tough out there, isn't it? Worse, the latest depressing employment figures showing lots more jobs being created and less people in the dole queue have led to the government being attacked because this threatens the likelihood of interest rates coming down, workers putting personal selfish considerations like food on the table and a roof over their heads above the national interest. If their jobs pay them enough to put food on the table and a roof over their thoughtless heads. Worse, that relentless defender of the downtrodden, the International Monetary Fund, has warned the interest rates may have to rise rather than fall unless government stops spending money, other than corporate welfare, of course. On sensible spending, exciting, indeed it warms the cockles of, to see Melbourne Lord Mayoral candidates addressing the big issues confronting not just Melbourne but the world. For instance, one had those doing it tough dancing in the streets, where many of them live anyway, by promising to spend $10 million on a virtual ABBA concert. That should solve heaps of problems in one fell swoop. But the big one we embrace because of its progressive social implications, that promise to wrench the Fashion Week from Sydney and make Melbourne the style capital of Trublawassee. Oh, come on, why not of the world? I'm shaking with excitement at the very thought. Think of the excitement of the opportunity to admire the fashionable A-listers who love sticking a few champagnes to help the less fortunate. No one can say they don't care. Oh, I can't wait. And think what millions on an ABBA concert and Fashion Week will do to address the big issues. Well, they are the big issues. Naturally, although the A-listers so care, they drink copious quantities of champagne so they can assist the less fortunate like the homeless. It would be unfair if they actually had to see them, so the constabulary would have to be tasked with the important job of getting them, that's the homeless of course, off the streets, out of the way. for the A-listers, the big issue in slaughter and destruction and genocide is to check how their investments in the merchants of death industry are going. As the slaughter and destruction and genocide continue apace, indeed, add the UN of the US of the UN of the world to the lists of terrorists Zion must destroy. So finally, the US of the UN of the US of the world government has warned its very, very, very close friend and champion of liberty, freedom and democracy that unless it slows down the slaughter and destruction a bit within the next, say, 2 or 3 years, it will consider not sending quite as many merchants of death products to Zion, which allow the slaughter and destruction in the first place. Sure, sure, Zion is shaking in its military boots, and having mentioned the constabulary a few times, pigs might fly. Good morning.